Hey Potters, welcome to episode 111 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay and costuming. Oh man, we are so excited. AllCon is coming in a week! It's coming in a week!
It's less than a week!
And it will be much less than a week when you guys hear this episode.
By the time you hear this episode, AllCon will have already passed and it'll be long done.
So basically, we're recording this live. We're hyped for AllCon. By the time you guys hear it, hopefully you guys will have had a wonderful time at AllCon and the contest will have gone swimmingly. All right, so cosplay updates. We haven't been working too much on our own personal cosplay this week, mostly because Oh My God contest. It's a lot of work, you guys, doing cosplay contest stuff. It really is. You don't know it until you actually have to manage it. I did want to show you guys, since I don't remember if I showed it last episode, we got our prize pack in from Dharma Trading. You know, here's the actual pack. I have left it in its shrink wrap so that the winners can have nice pristine packages. They're individually packaged inside here too. This is just the whole big thing. So there's a gift certificate for Dharma Trading and an uber cool tote bag. And then they have a catalog in here with some awesome stuff as well. So thank you again to Dharma Trading. We will send them pictures and video once the contest is over. So make sure you guys smile. So we have that. And of course, we have the uber awesome. I am covering up my address because you guys don't need to see it. This is from Epic Cosplay. And they sent us gift certificates that are printed really nicely as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Epic Cosplay. And of course, the rest of our stuff is in inventory. So we can't show you like all the different prizes because Val has a good chunk of it as well. So, I mean, we have really cool prize packs, you guys. Our sponsors were really good to us. We did really well with our budget this year. We are so happy.
I think on top of that, because now we have to show this off too, like, So the other stuff that we're doing here is the brand new McCall's cosplay exclusive patterns. You can't get these in stores. You can only get them from their website. They're also a little pricey. So we're really happy to have these available to you guys. And these are just going to go to the Judges Awards, like Judges Awards prizes. Judges Awards are getting prizes. That's pretty darn cool. And if you need like a scale, like, okay, so here's one pattern and the pattern like takes up all that. Yeah. These things are ginormous.
Like, and yes, that is a Vash. That is a Vash the Stampede coat, guys.
Totally a Vash coat. And you have a Game of Thrones coat. And then if you want really cool fabric wings, which even includes a harness. Like, seriously. Like, these are really, really uber cool. And I don't usually geek out over patterns. But even I'm like, I kind of want the wig pattern. Because that would be cool to have. I don't know when I'd use it. But it'd be cool to have.
And these are from their Cosplay Vault line of patterns.
Exclusive and only at McCall's website. So yeah, I'm just like, you have so much stuff.
Go and to cosplay.mccalls.com.
Here's my thing. I'm already writing up the like overview that I give to the contestants every year. And last year I was like, I didn't make a write-up. I need to make one this year. So as I was making it, I was putting down, you know, cosplayers, please make sure to stay throughout the entire contest so you can get your prizes. And I put a little sub note. Valerie would like to have her space back. Because I have four boxes full of cosplay contest stuff that has taken up my entire area and it's making it difficult for me to walk around and move. I would like to have my space back.
And we do want to add, since it wasn't on the AllCon post this morning, that Costbox is also one of our sponsors. Not only did we get Costboxes to give away, but they gave us a bunch of extra stuff to also give away.
I have it in a box over here. I have Costbox stuff in a box. It's like, yay big. Yeah, they gave us a lot of good stuff.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be so cool. Just so that there is a reminder out there, online submissions for the cosplay contest, we are still accepting them as of this recording. We are accepting them until Thursday, March 17th. 8 p.m. is the absolute latest that you can get that entry in online. After that, we do apologize, but we won't be taking any more online entries. However, we will be taking entries Friday on site at our table. Just look for the awesome video games and Marvel Chibi quilted tablecloth. You guys can sign up there. I believe it's between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. for you guys to sign up in person. You will get all the details. We'll give you the handy little sticker that shows you when and where to be there. That way you guys can get prejudged. You guys can veg out. We will have snacks. We will have water. We will get you guys taken care of because we too are cosplayers and we know how this works. And then we will have a smooth and efficient and awesome contest. And please stay for halftime because we think you guys will really enjoy what we've got planned for halftime.
Yay. I'm so excited. I mean, already, and we were saying this morning, like we had a 50% increase in the number of early online signups compared to last year. So already I'm like, yes, this is going to be great. I cannot wait.
And you guys do not have to worry about us hitting capacity. There's no way we're going to hit capacity on the number of signups for the contest. So if you're on the fence, please do sign up. You have a very good shot at winning prizes because we have so many. And we also have trophies to go all around. And they're really cool trophies too. So don't worry about it. Even if we had 70 people, we're not going to make you sit through a 5-hour rehearsal. We're going to cook through this because we're efficient. That's not a downer on any other convention, please. We know that people want to spend time at the convention doing other things. They don't want to spend 5 hours sitting in costume and getting dehydrated and not being able to eat dinner and whatnot. So we're going to try and keep this running as smoothly and efficiently as possible for you guys, because we know the audience has things to do too.
Amber and I are fully aware of this.
Yes, we know how this goes. And we know that there are also shows going on after our contest. So we need to make sure that we are out on time, and we will take care of that.
I will be in one of those said shows afterwards. We'll be doing a live reading of the Eye of Archon.
Indeed. And we'll also be there doing our usual press duties. We'll be filming panels. We'll be interviewing cosplayers and whatnot. And of course, there will be many, 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 many pictures in the new hotel.
Yay! I'll have my fancy camera. Woo!
Reminder, it is a new hotel. It is not held at the Crown Plaza Addison. If you go there, there will not be cosplayers there.
They'll look at you funny.
Well, the staff won't, because they're used to that sort of thing. In fact, TFF True. Is being held in that hotel this weekend. So, you know, they will have just seen people in costumes. But please don't go to the Crown Plaza Addison. It's not being held there. It's being held at the Westin Hotel in Dallas on Merritt Drive. So go to their website. Go to their website. It's allcon.org and allcon.net. Both of them work. Go to their website, get the hotel details. If you have not booked your room by this point, you cannot get the discount rate because they don't have any more of those. You will have to book at the full rate, but I do believe they still have rooms available if you would still like to stay in the hotel. Do pay attention to parking, because that hotel's parking is not free. It is not like the Crown Plaza Addison. You still have to pay for parking. The parking garage is $3 a day, very inexpensive, and it holds more people than the hotel does. So you don't have to worry about the parking garage filling up. You can do parking through the hotel. They have valet parking if you wish it. Go check the price on the hotel's website. Also, speaking of cosplay updates, the new Firefly Path pattern came out. If you guys have not seen this yet, it has been making the rounds everywhere on Facebook because people went freaking nuts, and it's this guy.
I kind of want to get it.
This is now available at your local Joann's. It's not at every Joann's. I went to 2 Joann's yesterday. One had it, one didn't. So I picked this up from the one that did. That Joann still actually has 2 of these left. If anybody still wants to go get them, message me and I will let you know where they are. But it is very cool that they now have this in there. I also noticed that they have what they call the Women's Warrior pattern. And yeah, this is a Rey knockoff. And I didn't realize it until I was able to see the pattern up close. But yeah, this is Star Wars knockoff. So this is a good thing to have if you're wanting to do a Rey cosplay. It's not entirely accurate. Obviously, they still make changes because of copyright, but it's still a nifty pattern to have for that. They're still doing Game of Thrones patterns, if you guys want to see that. Simplicity now has a bunch of those. They're starting to really go steampunky, so that now you can make steampunk versions of, you know, Tinkerbell and Snow White if you would like. There's a steampunk bell here at the bottom. All sorts of good stuff there. They've jumped on the Lord of the Rings train, so now you can be Tauriel if you would like, along with more Game of Thrones. You can be Mother of Dragons. McCall's is going Once Upon a Time, if you would like to do that sort of thing. McCall's is really good about having cosplay patterns in general. You can make your own hats, because now they're starting to get into millinery. And of course, then there are the Butterick lines, and Butterick has really started getting into their historical lines. They're starting to do a lot more Ren accessories. I think they've realized that McCall's and Simplicity have the cosplay market kind of cornered at this point. So they're focusing more on the LARP side of things. So if you need gauntlets, if you need bags for conventions, because you can't always put pockets into a costume, this one has more bags, scale mail gauntlets, if you ever wanted to make scale mail gauntlets. Butterick now has corsetry, because everybody loves a good corset. You can make your own shoes if you want to make your own boots. And of course, you can make your own gloves, because making gloves by hand is not pretty. Ha ha, ha ha, by hand.
Ha ha.
So basically, yeah, cosplay is starting to really go mainstream when it comes to patterning. Go visit your local retailer when it comes to crafts and hobbies, Hobby Lobby, Michaels, etc. Go pick up them patterns when they're on sale. Most of these patterns, the Zelda one included, was $21 retail. I bought it for two. Much, much better price. The 40% off coupons don't always work on those, and that's why I say that. They sometimes exclude patterns for that reason. So go when they're on sale. Simplicity just finished their sale yesterday. I believe, I want to say McCall's is up next for theirs. So if you want to pick up Yaya's bodysuit pattern, that would be the time to do it.
So we know how Amber spent her money.
Well, I've also been working more on Aurelia. And if you guys haven't seen my EVA foam gem post going around, you know, I carved gems out of EVA foam because it's cheap and they're plentiful. That's mostly what I spent my time doing, is I worked a little bit on Aurelia. She's not going to be finished by Alcon. I'm really sorry, guys, if you wanted to see her. Just, it's been a really busy week. I had overtime at work. I ended up getting very sick. And yeah, it's been that kind of a week. Plus, I spent a lot more time trying to exercise and work out when I wasn't frantically doing work things, because I took my waist measurement and I have gained 2 inches around my waist, and I'm starting to get into unhealthy measurement territory. It's like, okay, full stop, I need to fix that. Because not only is it a health thing, but my costumes don't fit because they're based on old measurements, and that's important. And while you can cosplay at any size, bear in mind that we're human beings and we can also change size. And that's really important when doing fittings for costumes. You can always take a costume in. You can't really let a costume out unless you've planned for that. So if you've clipped all your seams already, you have nowhere to go. You can't let anything out because there's nothing to let out unless you wish to undo the seams and, you know, flash the world. So at that point, then you have to start looking at expansion panels, and that kind of destroys the lines of a costume most of the time. So yeah, I'm trying to get my waist back down to where it was so that I'm healthy again and so that I fit in my costumes again. So yeah, it's making my patterning for Aurelia very difficult because I'm having to plan for what I am now and then having to think about, okay, I'm going to have to take this in hopefully later. Woo!
So she spent her money on patterns.
Oh, and I had a birthday. I celebrated another revolution around the sun.
Woo! We're still in the 25 territory. We're pretending 30 does not exist.
Oh no, I'm well over 30 at this point.
No, okay. It's not. No, we're not 30. We're not 30.
These are the prime years of my life. Mentally, I'm still probably like 22. But physically, yeah, I'm over 30. My metabolism reminds me daily I'm over 30.
The fact that I wake up and I'm like, oh, my leg's hurting again. Yeah, I'm 30. Yay.
It's okay. But if you guys want to post birthday wishes on our social media, you guys are more than welcome to. I am appreciative of it. Do not send me anything, please, for the love of all that is holy. Do not send me anything. Just birthday wishes is fine.
Yeah, because I gave her, a sheet of Warbler. What was it, last year, a year, 2 years ago? You're still haven't touched it?
No, I have touched it. And I've said that openly. I've touched it many times. I just haven't used it up.
Yeah, you touched it. You haven't used it.
No, I have used it. I can go walk 10 feet over there and pull out pieces that I've used it on. I have used it. I just haven't consumed the whole thing.
Whereas I've consumed mine in like less than a month.
It's more that it has its limitations and I need to experiment and figure out how best to use it when it has those limitations, because I don't like the edging on what I've made. I really don't. Warbler is not the end all be all. I also really don't like the texturing on it.
And yeah, the texture is weird.
If you heat it up, you can like make indentations into it. accidentally, and that's not good. Styrene is so much cleaner. But it also won't make compound shapes, so one of my projects, probably after Akon this year, I'm going to make a vacuform machine. Torture my neighbors with it.
I'm sure they would appreciate it.
It's still going to be more quiet than their music parties.
Well, there you go.
And yes, Alan, I am looking at getting a circular saw. It's a matter of where the heck do I fit it in my tiny little apartment?
Magic.
I have no more space, guys. I don't even have space for the fabric I have. In fact, that's why I got more patterns, so I can take these pieces of fabric and use them up. I need to.
I'll have space after all con. Oh, goodness. So yeah, while Amber was busy making pattern purchases, I was buying a lot of sequins. Because I'm going to go down this terrible, horrible path of making my own applique out of sequins. God help us all. So given the size of this bolt, this was only $10. This is a ton of sequins for $10. Gotta admit. I have yet to unfurl this to actually see the full length of it, but I'm sure it's something absolutely ridiculous and I'll probably hate myself later for it. But yeah, sequins. This is what I've been spending my money and time on, is buying stuff. I haven't actually done a whole lot of crafty. I have Game of Thrones stuff that I'm steadily working on back here. When all the pieces are attached, which should be by the end of the day today, it's all going to get stored away, and then I'm going to get working on the embroidery, because I can't really do anything else with this until all the embroidery is done. Yeah, other than that, it's just been all con, and more all con stuff.
To be fair, I did not buy all of those patterns at once. I only bought four. I just held up more of them because they were related.
That's still a lot of patterns to buy.
Four?
For me, it is, because I, you know how often I buy patterns?
Them.
Zero.
No, I ended up getting one duplicate, actually. So I'm going to end up giving those away. But I bought the Zelda one. I bought the Warrior one. And then I bought a couple of others because I'm doing the Gajinka Kirara from Inuyasha.
Right.
So I needed a dress pattern and a bolero pattern. And these are all patterns that I use repeatedly. I need to laminate the pattern pieces so that they are cleaner, or at least mount them to something. The only problem, though, with mounting them to something is that then you can't fold them very well for storage. And I like being able to, this is one of the few things in life where you can fold it and put it back in the package the way it was, if you pay attention to the fold lines. Now, if you iron it out, like you're supposed to, then it's a lot harder to fold them and put them back in the package. But I make allowance for that. It's so much easier when I can just store them in a giant paper box, which is literally sitting right next to me.
I understand completely. The more stuff that you can fold and stick into boxes or into like Ziploc bags, the better things are.
Yes. And if you can roll it up, so much the better.
If you have the space to stick it somewhere for rolling.
Well, I mean, like with fabric, if you get like a short little foot-long dowel, then you can just fold the fabric in half and then just roll it up on the dowel so that it wrinkles less. Yeah, the storage is always a problem for cosplayers, and I'm sure a lot of people watching this already know that.
Nowhere to put costumes and stuff, and it feels like every time I clean out my closets, I immediately fill them right back up, and I'm just like, dudes, no, I have less crap in there. Why does it look like it's full again?
Hashtag cosplay problems.
Yeah. This sucker is not going to help.
See, I have all my retired costumes. I just haven't pieced them apart yet to reuse the fabric for other things. So they're still taking up space, even though I don't wear them. Woohoo! All right.
Too much to do, no time to do it.
And no space in which to store it.
Yep.
All right. So this is, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, going to be Amber-centric for this episode, because I have tutorials for you guys.
Yay!
One of them is the basic scroll saw tutorial that we have been pushing and just haven't been able to include in previous episodes because we had so much other content. So you guys finally get to see it. Yay!
Woo!
This is just on the basic use of a scroll saw. And then I will have one for you later on how to make these wonderful EVA gems, which I actually still need to film as of this production. But I will make time for you guys because you guys are awesome. So let's go ahead and start with the scroll saw tutorial, how to use one and not kill yourself in the process.
So this is a scroll saw that I purchased from Harbor Freight. It ended up being about $55 after coupons because they're really good about having coupons. And I use it mostly for cutting foam and thin pieces of wood, wood that is under a half inch. Anything over than that and the blades here actually can't handle it. So this is mostly for light work. If you need something a little bit more heavy, I would recommend that you consider getting either a table saw or a circular saw. When you purchase a scroll saw, some of them will actually have tables that tilt. And there's actually a little knob down here. If I loosen it just a bit. Most tables you can get usually up to a 45 degree angle so that you can cut beveled edges on your material. And actually having a flat table at 0 degrees precisely is important, because otherwise you really will get a bevel in your materials that is unintended, which you then have to grind off, and that isn't pleasant. So with a scroll saw, they actually use specific blades. They're called scroll saw blades. Isn't that clever? These particular ones are by Ryobi, but you can actually get any brand. And scroll saw blades have very, very tiny little teeth. And they go in one direction. You can kind of see that there against my fingers. They only go in one direction. You can get other types of blades for some saws. Sometimes you can get what they call spiral blades, but you need to check your documentation to make sure your saw can handle that, because sometimes they'll take different adapters. But one of the important things to look for, no matter what kind of blade you get, is a measurement called TPI, and that is teeth per inch. The more teeth per inch you have, the easier it can be to cut your material, just because you have more cutting power there. The other thing to think about when you have a scroll saw, and you'll notice this big circular pipe hole right here, which may be a little hard to see because I have a light that's very dim. But this is actually for plugging in a vacuum or a compressor to blow the dust away from your working area. Whenever you use scroll saws to cut wood or any material that sheds, you'll end up getting a lot of dust buildup. Foam is actually that way too. This right here is used to grip your material. It holds it down to the table. If this is too high, your material may slide around. It's almost like a presser foot on a sewing machine if you've used those, in that it holds your material nice and tense so that you have control over it. This is adjustable. You can raise it and lower it depending on the width of your material, which is a good thing. The last important thing I wanted to show you on here is this little piece right here, this little orange piece. It's kind of orangey yellow. And it is a safety switch. Safety switch in that if this is in, if this is plugged in, the scroll saw will not start, or at least it's not supposed to start. I'm sorry. There we go. Now it won't start. So if this is out, it will not start. Say I have it on, it's not going anywhere. That is entirely for your safety so that you don't accidentally bump the switch and start it when you don't want it to actually be running, because cutting off fingers is unpleasant, I'm sure. This has a certain amount of tension to it. You can see I'm pushing on it and it doesn't flex very far, but it does flex. There's a tensioner knob. For me, it's back here. But on other scroll saws, it may be in a different area. And you want to make sure that this has a good amount of tension to it. It doesn't flex very much, but it does have a little bit. If this is too tense, and it has pitch. If this is too tense, if there is no flex, then if you hit a material that this cannot cut or has trouble cutting, you may actually snap off your blade. And then the pieces go flying, and you don't really want to be hit by scroll saw blades. So adjust the tension, test it, adjust again, etc. Make sure that this is set to your liking. Things sketched out on foam that I'm going to go ahead and cut for you. So the first thing that I want to do is I'm going to loosen my fork here. And you see it actually slides up and down. So I'm going to put my material underneath, and I'm going to set it down so that it rests loosely. I'm not going to push it down. And then I will tighten my knob. There we go. Just like that. I'm going to set it in the position that I'm ready to cut. You want to set it so that the cutting direction is parallel to the blade. Luckily, the pieces I have sketched in here are very slow curves, so I should be able to simply turn the material to rotate it and to get my cuts cleanly. Anytime you have to make 90-degree cuts with a scroll saw, you end up basically having to forcefully rotate the material, and that doesn't always go well. Okay? And then I slide the material up to it, like this. And you'll want to go nice and slow. There's no sense in rushing this. Let the scroll saw do its work. You can see I'm slowly rotating the material to follow the curves. Now in this case, I have an awkward cut. I have a little triangle or a little chunk that I have to cut out of this. So what I'm going to do in this case, instead of rotating out constantly, I'm going to cut the basic shape out, then I will cut the little chunk out. So I'm going to keep going. And you see this is very easy to use. Okay, I stop the saw before I remove my material. So you can see I've got my nice little triangle here. You can see it's a mostly clean cut. It's going to need a little bit of cleanup. Pretty clean cut there too. But that way you can see that this will remarkably speed up the process of you being able to cut things out. This is actually 5/8 inch thick. The instructions on this say that I can cut up to hardwood up to a half inch thick. So softer material, sometimes you can get away with cutting a little bit wider, a little bit thicker. The harder materials like wood, I'm going to actually be cutting some poplar dowels later on today. Those I have to hard stick to a half inch. Anything greater than a half inch and the scroll saw actually has trouble. As you can see, not a scary power tool. Very easy to use, very worth the $55 I put into it, especially since I work with foam a lot. You can always get one from Home Depot. You can invest and get a DeWalt or a Rockwall. So, hope you enjoyed my scroll saw.
So, next tutorial is, you know, a little less dangerous, and it is how to make these lovely EvaFoam gems. This actually occurred to me when I was looking at my stash of spare EvaFoam going, I hate throwing things away because I'm a pack rat. It's like, well, what else can I do with this besides make custom fitted, I don't want to say shipping packages because it's not shipping, but transportation packages for props, because you can use them to basically edge your props and make sure nothing happens to them while they are in the car being jostled around while they are in Tetris form. So I just kind of sat there and went, huh, well, you can carve other things with them. Why not make some gems? Because I needed a whole bunch of gems that I could not cast at the time, because Texas hates me in terms of weather and is always humid and has been wet for the last 3 weeks, thus could not cast resin because it would not set. Thank you, Texas. And of course, now we're high and dry and nice and warm right before the con, which does not help me. Thanks, Texas. Anyways, so I wanted to show you guys how to do this because these are cheap, flexible, they're sandable, they're paintable. You can, you know, flex them after they've been painted and nothing should happen to them. You can drop them, you can throw them across the room and nothing happens to them. These are like the best things since sliced bread. You can also seal them if you would like, and you can always carve extras in case you lose them at cons because Murphy. So that said, please enjoy this EvaFoam gem tutorial.
I wanted to show you guys a new little thing that I happened upon just while I was making my Aurelia costume from League of Legends, and I had a whole bunch of EVA foam left over, because of course you always get these nice pieces of EVA foam where you've cut a little piece out of it, and the rest of it isn't really long enough or wide enough to be able to use for anything else. I came upon the idea of carving gems out of it. Why? I have no idea, for the same reason I like setting things on fire and spinning them around my body. But anyways, I wanted to show you this. So what I did, I very, very roughly cut a little shape out of EVA foam here. You can tell this is very, very roughly cut. I used an X-Acto knife, which is not very helpful on EVA foam, especially if your blade is not new. But you can see I have done nothing else to it except cut it. Like so. And the way you want it to end up is like this little guy. And you can see he's kind of rounded. Looks a lot like a teardrop, actually. See, there's a couple little places where it's not completely flat, but that's just because I didn't eyeball it well enough. If you hit these once they're carved, if you hit them with a couple coats of primer or something light like white or gray, you'll see really quickly where you missed. And that way you can go ahead and just grind them flat. They are cheap, they are very, very lightweight, they are readily available because heaven knows we all have a bunch of EVA scrap lying around, they are flexible, you can carve a whole bunch of them in case you need spares, you can drop them and nothing happens to them, they don't crack, they are paintable, they are sandable, all sorts of good things with EVA foam. This is actually one of my finished ones. This has been painted with nail polish and then sealed with Mod Podge. I used the matte Mod Podge because it's already, as you can see, fairly shiny in the light. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you how I did this. So I've got my unfinished gem here, the one that is the raw cut. The only thing that you need in terms of tools is your friendly neighborhood Dremel. In this case, it's an RTX, which is my Dremel. A dust mask, which I don't have in front of me, or you're going to want a respirator. The reason for that is that when you grind EVA foam with a Dremel, you end up getting this really, really fine particulate that goes everywhere. Wear a mask when you do this. Ideally, you would wear gloves as well if you are allergic to EVA foam particulate, and you'll know within the first, I'd say, 20 seconds or so if you're allergic, because you will itch so much. All right, so this is gonna be a little bit loud, but here we go. So I've got my Dremel. I start on the sides, and I just gently grind a little bit. Just a little bit. If you were doing faceted gems, which you can do with this technique, then what you would do is you would simply grind a flat plane all the way across where you want it. But in this case, I'm rounding it because that's what I want for the gem. You can see I'm very gradually removing EVA foam. I'm not doing this very quickly. And the reason for that is control. There you go. You can see my progress as I'm working my way around the gem. I've rounded out roughly the back of it there. You can see I'm just gently, ever so gently. I feel like Bob Ross. I'm doing this gently. I am painting my EVA foam with the Dremel. Let's hope that this turns out to be a happy little accident, because, yeah, if you've ever actually tried rubbing a Dremel sanding drum across your fingers while it's actually rotating, it hurts a lot. It's not like a cat tongue. It's not that kind of sandpaper. It's very, very rough, and it's very fast, especially if you're like me and you have a new sanding drum on your Dremel. So you can see I'm still moving. You can see at this point I've kind of got the rough shape. I've got a little bit of it still flat on top, which is what you would want if this were faceted, but I'm going to do just a round for right now. But you can see I've got kind of the rough shape etched out here. You see that? I'm going to go ahead and finish off by coming up around the top, and I'm just going to move it left to right. I'm just rounding. I'm going to round a little bit of the tip because the tip is also important. Please, no dirty jokes there, guys. So I'm going to go left to right, or in this case, right to left. And that's for all the manga people. I'm going to flip it over, same thing, back and forth, just rounding out that last little bit. And you can take off as much of the foam as you want, or as little as you want. The more foam you take off, the flatter the gem. Ow! That was not a happy accident. That hurt. That tried to go under my nail. It was not good. I'm very sorry if there is blood on this gem. It was not intended. That's good enough. But you can see it's nice and rounded for the most part. You'd want to brush this off because there's still particulate on this as well as everything else. You actually can't see the particulate. It's actually right below the camera on the table and unfortunately on my floor, so I'm going to have to vacuum. But that is seriously all there is to carving these. You can cut many different shapes. It doesn't have to be teardrop. You can cut squares, you can cut circles, you can cut hexagons, you can cut pentagons. You can cut octahedrons if you feel like it. You don't have to sand the carbon fiber pattern off of the back. All EVA foam has this. If you buy it in the packs that come in your hardware stores, you can sand this off, but actually in a way I find it useful because the grooves will hold adhesive, in which case you can adhere it down to something. And that will actually make your life a little bit easier because this portion is still rough as opposed to this surface, which is smooth. and you want things to be a little bit roughened up for you to actually glue it down. So once you're done with that, you can pretty much treat it like you would any other EVA foam piece, including armor. You simply prime it so that you cover up the porosity so that your paint will stick to it. Give it a couple coats of primer, sand to your heart's content, paint, resand as needed, lather, rinse, repeat, and seal. And then you have a nifty one of these.
And we are back. I do apologize that I did not use any real fire in either one of those tutorials, even though you can use heat tools to smooth the surface of the EVA foam after you've carved them. Yeah, so sometimes fire is not the first choice when it comes to cosplay, unless you are actively doing something that requires open flame. Smoke detectors are sensitive kits.
Sometimes it's just fun to mess with fire when you're trying to get things to mold and shape your way that you want them to, you know?
Well, I mean, if you want to mess with fire for fun, that's what Renaissance festivals are for.
The fun of fire. Yeah, that just sounds dangerous.
There are videos of me spinning fire poi on the internet.
Yes, one of them we have on our page. Yes. Check us out on YouTube.
Yes, yeah, so there are, you know, evidential media that show me using fire in a completely non-necessary way.
But it's cool, so it's okay.
It is cool. It is fun. There's nothing like hearing things go whoosh around you for about 4 minutes.
And she was being very safe about it too, so it's all good.
I am always safe when I dance with fire. And I do not say that sarcastically. I really do take safety measures when I actually spin fire.
It's just funny because she's a pyro.
Not quite. Like, borderline.
So she says.
borderline. Anyways, back to cosplay.
Yeah, cosplay. So don't forget to do the social media stuff. You can find us here, and you can find us here. And we're also on Instagram now, and I'm trying to post regularly when I remember to do so. I will definitely be posting a ton on Friday, needless to say. So make sure to check us out in all these cool places. And questions, comments, problems, concerns, suggestions for future episodes, make sure to email us at podcast@cospod.org. So until next time,